The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Brandi Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Brandi Rolfe.
Hello, this is Randi Rolfe, and I'm your host for Family First, and I'm very excited about today's show. Every day we hear about one more fad diet, a celebrity getting fat or thin or sick, and diseases which affect more and more adults, like cancer, diabetes, obesity, immunity problems, and heart disease, affecting younger and younger Americans, too. The United States Department of Agriculture has just put out a new diagram of a food plate to try to educate our population better than the food pyramid has done. But will this really work? How do parents know how to best feed themselves, let alone their own children? My guest today is one of the most dedicated and experienced experts in the world today on how to get and stay healthy through wise food choices. Over several decades, Susan Silberstein, founder of the Center for Advancement in Cancer Education, has been educating cancer patients about food choices in recovery, as well as thousands more on preventing these diseases of our modern lifestyle. Hearing her four secrets today could actually save the life of someone you love. Susan Silberstein is executive director of the Center for Advancement in Cancer Education, which she founded in 1977 after the death of her young husband to cancer. An international speaker on nutrition, cancer prevention, and complementary and alternative medicine, she lectures frequently at corporate, nursing, medical, educational, and other organizational events. Silberstein is the author of the recipe books Hungry for Health and Hungrier for Health, great books, creator of the video Breast Cancer, The Diet Connection, editor of Immune Perspectives magazine, and the designer of the Beat Cancer Kit series. Since 1977, she has coordinated scores of health conferences, has appeared on hundreds of radio and television talk shows, and has coached thousands of patients. She's a Phi Beta Kappa and Fulbright scholar and a brilliant woman, and she's won numerous awards for her continuing work in cancer education. So I'm so happy to have you as our guest, Susan. Thank you.
Thank you, Randy. It's a pleasure.
Oh, the pleasure is mine. I've watched you work all these years, and you've done so much for actually tens and tens of thousands of people. So can you tell us a little bit about your creation, the Center for Advancement in Cancer Education? And I've been to a number of your courses. They're fantastic. So can you tell our listeners about the center?
Absolutely. And most people know us now as beatcancer.org, which, of course, is our website. Center for Advancement in Cancer Education is a national not-for-profit 501c3 organization. We specialize in education and counseling, and our mission is to provide research-based education on how to prevent, cope with, and beat cancer through diet, lifestyle, and other immune-boosting approaches. In the last 33 years, we've provided individualized consultations, mostly by telephone, occasionally in person, to close to 30,000 patients nationwide, and group trainings for about 50,000 prevention seekers. And Randy, if I could, I'd like to let people know how we differ from so many of the other cancer organizations that are out there. Would that be okay?
Yes, please.
Because there's so many, and many of them are extremely well-funded, and they're very visible. And a lot of people never heard of beatcancer.org. But we differ in three really crucial ways. First of all, our prevention programs focus on real prevention, not just early detection. Now, we know early detection is better than late detection, but it's not true prevention. Second, most cancer treatment programs focus on destroying the tumor. We focus on building up the patient, minimizing treatment side effects, supporting immune system function, improving nutritional status, and especially addressing the reasons they got sick in the first place. And third, most of the big cancer organizations raise money for research. We raise money for education. In fact, enough excellent research has already been published in scientific journals worldwide. We teach people what that research says and how to apply it in their daily lives. We actually don't believe that we need more research for the cure. Prevention is the cure.
That's a really such an important point, because we are asked to give money for more research, and they're going to find this wonderful, you know, single shot kind of cure for each cancer. And it's just not realistic, because the information is out there, like you say, about how to prevent it and how to minimize its effects. And I'm so glad you are there. And you've been working in the cancer field for so long and so dedicated. Do you see any improvement in the trends for cancer incidence in this country?
No. Despite those billions of dollars that have been spent on research, the statistics are actually up. The lifetime risk now for the younger generation is 1 in 2 Americans will get cancer sometime in their lifetime. There are actually 1 million cancer diagnoses in this country every single year. And breast cancer, for example, when I got started, the lifetime incidence was 1 in 13 women would get breast cancer. It's now 1 in 7.
My goodness. And what do you attribute that to, Susan?
Barking up the wrong tree.
That's a simple and brilliant answer. So how does cancer relate to other degenerative diseases like cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and obesity?
Very similar. In fact, the statistics are just as depressing for the other diseases. 40 million have high cholesterol, 41 million have heart disease in this country, and there are over a million heart attacks every single year in this country. You've got 50 million with hypertension. 1 out of 2 children born in the year 2000 or beyond will be diagnosed with adult onset type 2 diabetes before they hit their 30th birthday. There's 57 million pre-diabetics in this country, 24 million actually have diabetes, 65% of U.S. adults are overweight, 93 million Americans are obese, and within 2 years that number's expected to climb to 120 million. And we're finding that this is not true of just the elderly. More young Americans are taking heart medication drugs than ever before. And by the age of 3, children even have fatty deposits in their arteries. It's just a disaster in this country right now.
I remember when I was growing up, they were saying how awful it was that there were fatty deposits in some of the soldiers going over to Vietnam. And of course, they were 18, 19, and now you're talking about 3 and 4 year olds. It's atrocious.
Yes.
And I know often these problems run together. I've heard people say, well, I'll either die of cancer or heart disease or obesity, but they tend to run together. Isn't that true?
Well, they tend to run together because the most hereditary aspect of disease is not your genetics, it's your dinner table. And so, the same diet that is going to contribute to heart disease or diabetes or obesity is going to contribute to cancer as well.
Yeah, I think that's an important point, because sometimes people assume they have to do different diets to avoid different diseases, but that's not the way it works, as I understand it.
That is actually true. People think that it's so complicated, and I'm out to tell people in my books that, and in this interview, that it's not complicated at all. There's just a few things you've got to pay attention to.
Yes, I love your approach to keep it simple enough that people can actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
I take it you're not a great proponent of fad diets. Can you address that issue that we're facing every day in the news?
Oh, my goodness. And the media, of course, they mean well, but they tend to get us even more confused because there's every week we have a new fad diet. They come and go. They work for some of the people some of the time and none of the people a lot of the time. Many of the people never. So I suggest that people follow the 4F principle, and that is forget the fads, follow the fundamentals, and those are going to be the principles that our genes were actually programmed for us in terms of eating habits.
That's a very powerful idea, the 4Fs, yes. So you can just ignore the magazine covers and the intros to some of the news shows that with some star doing their new favorite diet. It's not the key to health. So you've written a recipe book to help people have a practical approach to how to prepare their foods called Hungry for Health and Hungrier for Health. What motivated you to write the book?
Well, you know, it started when I got tired of dictating recipes to my patients, tired of faxing recipes to my patients. And I decided, that, well, let me codify that and put it in a book so it's going to save everybody a lot of time and aggravation. And by the time I got all those 157 recipes into my first book, I realized that it's not really a diet for cancer patients. It's a healthy diet that everyone should be following. And the same diet that's going to help a patient that's been diagnosed is going to help prevent cancer as well as other diseases. And so the book became called Hungry for Health, and there are 157 no-guilt recipes in that book. And I figured out that whoever does anything in the kitchen, whoever makes any choices from a restaurant menu could benefit from that. Now, it's not totally vegetarian. It is heavily plant-based, and there is no red meat or milk or sugar in that book, but it's not totally vegetarian and it's easily adaptable.
That's wonderful. We're up on a break, Susan, but please, listeners, please come back and learn about the 4 nutrition secrets that can help save your child's life and your own, of course.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? 5-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings of the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
We're back with Susan Silberstein, Executive Director of the Center for Advancement in Cancer Education. And Susan's been educating patients in helping with their cancer recovery and also people who want to prevent these cancer and other diseases of modern life. And we've been talking about Susan's great recipe books, Hungry for Health and Hungrier for Health. And I have to tell you, they're very accessible, very easy to follow, and right in line with what Susan's been saying about it. It's not that hard to prevent some of these dire conditions. So what criteria did you use for choosing the recipes for your book? We were talking somewhat about that it's basically plant-based. Can you tell you a little more about that, Susan?
Yes, the key point that I wanted to get across was that you could eat really, really healthfully with very, very simple to prepare recipes with easy to find ingredients. And at the end of the day, they would really, really be delicious. And in my book, the desserts are so nutritionally dense that they're better for you than if you didn't eat dessert at all. I think that's a pretty good deal.
Yes.
And the recipes run the gamut, not only from desserts and juices and smoothies, but we've got appetizers and snacks and salads and salad dressings and soups and main courses and entrees and sides. So there's a lot to choose from, and I usually suggest you start with something that just looks really, really appealing and go from there.
That's so important because so many times people think, well, if you're a health nut or a food health nut, that you're depriving yourself.
Yes, and then you've got a slave in the kitchen all day long. And at the end of the day, you've got something that is not appealing to you, let alone the rest of your family. And so you give up. And so I wanted to prove to people that you could do this simply and it would really taste great.
That's awesome. I understand that the profits from the sales of your books go straight to your Cancer Center for Education. So how can your listeners get copies of the book?
If they're online, they can go to hungryforhealth.net. They can order from the e-store from our website for the Cancer Center, beatcancer.org. They can call toll-free, 888-551-2223. And, of course, Hungry for Health, Hungrier for Health is also available through those resources. And we even have Hungry for Health bars because I wanted people to know that you can get a snack bar that is really good for you, but it might taste terrible. Or you can get a really great snack bar that is filled with really great ingredients. And that's why I created the Hungry for Health bars that actually follow the principles in my books. And all of these make great gifts for anybody that you care about.
Yeah, and those bars, they not only taste great, but the profits go to expanding your educational efforts. So I do
they
recommend
do.
Them highly.
And I'd like to mention that, as you said, Hungry for Health is heavily plant-based, but not totally vegetarian. Hungrier for Health is totally vegetarian, or actually vegan. The recipes in the first book are almost gluten-free, and in the second book, they're totally gluten-free.
So oh, that's good to know, because a lot of people are
concerned about
being
gluten. There's some that are concerned about being vegan. Both of my books are kosher, and all the recipes are delicious.
Oh, that's awesome. So let's move on to what are your four fundamental principles for healthy eating, those nutrition secrets that we're all waiting for.
Number one, eat primitive. Number two, eat colorful. Number three, eat alkaline. And number four, eat organic.
Oh, that's great. That's very simple. So what do you mean by eating primitive?
In my second book, I have a couple of four more principles that are a little more advanced. So you're not allowed to buy the second book if you haven't read the first one.
That's good. So, Susan, what do you mean by eating primitive, and what are the key differences between the modern and primitive diets?
Eating primitive, what that means is that, according to anthropological research, humanity has been around as a species for about 40,000 years, and all that time, we followed the hunter-gatherer society diet until just a couple of hundred years ago when the Industrial Revolution came along and modern food processing techniques began refining all the nutrition out of the Western diet. But people need to understand that 2 centuries, that's a mere drop in what I call that proverbial evolutionary bucket. It's not enough time for our genes to adapt to a very dramatic departure from long-established dietary patterns, and that's the cause of those chronic killer diseases like cancer, heart disease, and diabetes that remain virtually unknown in traditional cultures that still eat in a primitive way. And I like to say that that primitive diet is heavily plant-based, roots, fruits, greens, beans, seeds, weeds, little bit of wild fish and maybe some wild game, but the modern diet is so different. Meats and sweets, pies and fries, chips and dips, cakes and shakes.
Oh, those are great, great sayings. I hope those are in your book. So
they are in the book. And
grasp them and share them with their kids.
Yeah, you know, the key differences between the two diets, the primitive diet and the modern diet, sometimes the primitive diet is referred to as the Paleolithic or Paleo diet, has to do with the fat profile, and I know we're going to talk about that a little bit later. It also has to do with the phytonutrient content, which is the plant-based nutrients that were so heavy in the primitive diet that are all essentially missing from the modern Western diet today. And it also has to do with the pollution, the chemical additives, and the irradiation and the microwaving that are going on with the modern diet. So in those ways, the diets are very, very different.
Yeah, they certainly are. And I just want to mention, as far as the evolution, that the chances of us ever adjusting to a diet that is so deficient in the micronutrients that our human bodies need, I think is really, really slim. Even if we waited another 1,000 years, chances of us being able to eat the highly refined foods that most of our foods are comprised of, it's not convincing it would ever happen. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. It's really a tough call because this is programmed for us, and all we need to do is get out of our own way.
Right, right. So let's talk about the fats a bit. Most of us realize that saturated fats can be bad for our health, but you're also concerned about certain unsaturated fats. So could you expound on that a bit?
Sure. And, of course, in general, saturated fats are coming to us from animal sources and tend to promote disease, whereas, in general, the unsaturated fats coming more from the plant sources tend to be more protective against these killer diseases. But there are differences among those unsaturated fats, and lots of people have heard of omega-3s and 6s and 9s, but nobody's too clear what that whole deal is all about. So I'm going to discuss a few general principles concerning that. No food is completely 100% an omega-3 or 6 or 9. Foods are combinations, which is good because we need all of those unsaturated fatty acids. What's important is the ratio of those fatty acids. And in the primitive diet, there was a lovely one-to-one ratio of omega-3s to 6 or 6 to 3, and which was great because omega-6 fats, if you have too many of them, they tend to suppress your immune system, whereas the omega-3s tend to boost up your immune system. So you don't want an immune system turned on all the time or off all the time. So the primitive diet did that very well. But the modern diet's got like a 25 or 30 to 1 ratio of omega-6s to 3, which means we're really doing a number on our immune systems. So
wow.
Very simply speaking, where do we get those omega-6s? Those are the ones that are that get us in trouble. Corn oil and cottonseed oil and soybean oil and sunflower oil and safflower oil. And if you're going to a restaurant where they say made in pure vegetable oil, you can be sure that that's pure omega-6. The omega-3s, which are the immune protective fats, we get them from wild game and fresh ground flax seeds and wild fish and free-roaming hens and their eggs and sea vegetables and grass-fed animals and raw walnuts and raw pumpkin seeds. And, of course, omega-9, the best source is probably the cold-pressed extra virgin olive oil.
That's very cool, and they all sound delicious. let's see. Where do you find – I'd love you to comment on the supplements. A lot of the omega-3s caused a lot of attention, and people are buying fish liver oil capsules like they're going out of style. And I've heard that they're not all that good. Could you comment on that?
In general, we were created to thrive and grow from our diets. And so I always – like to caution people that you don't want to eat crap, take a couple of pills, and expect to be well. It doesn't work that way. You want to start first with your foods. And because foods are beautiful synergistic combinations of these plant-based nutrients, and mostly plant-based, then we're getting them in a full form that the body can utilize. As soon as we take an expressed, isolated, concentrated, single nutrient, and we take that in supplement form, we're missing all the cofactors that are available in our diet that make that supplement utilizable. And one of the best examples of that is this silly craze to take calcium supplements to prevent osteoporosis when, in fact, taking calcium supplements without all the essential cofactors can cause osteoporosis.
Right, right. Well, we're up on a break now, but I want to come back and talk about your second secret about colorful plates.
Sure thing.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RANDYROLFE.com. Your family will thank you.
The Total Education Network is the only network that airs shows 7 days a week on various stations.
please go to our website, www.totaltutor.org, for more information about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide educational news and tips for parents. The Total Education Network, the talk shop for parents, teachers, and administrators. That's www.totaltutor.org.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between. Discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolf. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolf@randyrolf.com. Now, back to Family First.
We're back again today with Susan Silberstein, Executive Director of the Center for Advancement in Cancer Education, and you can find more information at beatcancer.org. Susan, since 1977, has been educating patients in recovery from cancer about good food choices and also helping people interested in prevention, and has a couple of fabulous cookbooks, Hungry for Health and Hungrier for Health, and she's sharing with us the four nutrition secrets that could help save you or your child's life. We talked about eating primitive, and now we're moving on to the second point of eating colorful. So can you elaborate on that wonderful principle, Susan?
Absolutely, Randy. You know, the typical American diet is white. We've got white flour and white sugar and white bread and white pasta, white milk, white cheese, white potatoes, white rice. There's just no color in the diet. But colors are going to make a difference in our health dramatically. If we did nothing but just take the whites out of our diet and replace those colors with the colors of the rainbow in terms of fruits and vegetables, we could make a tremendous difference in our health.
Yeah, that's so true. You just all of a sudden you're bringing all those different energies so that, from the rainbow. And, yeah, I like to say what the first thing I did after I'd researched for about 6 months in nutrition was I threw out everything that was white. Just that list that you just made, the clear oils and the wheat flour, the white wheat flour and the sugar and everything that was white, I just threw it out because it was all refined. The energy had been taken from it. So that's so true. And I want to tell a quick story about my daughter. She was a toddler and had a pretty good appetite, but she just wasn't going for vegetables. So she was just starting to realize the clock had something to tell her. So I put on a plate, I put a different color at all 12 places on her plate, and I said, let's do the clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. And she took one bite, she took a bite at each of those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and went all the way around to 12 o'clock. She, from then on, she ate her vegetables. And it was just because it was colorful and exciting.
Well, I think that's the secret, you know, don't make it something you have to give up, make it something that you get to enjoy.
Exactly. And you said that what you, in your education, you say the research is already there. So people always wonder, well, okay, yeah, grandma liked fruits and vegetables, but is there really a lot of research about fruit and vegetable consumption and minimizing disease risk?
Oh, my goodness. There is so much. And if you look at the references, especially in Hungrier for Health, you're going to see a lot of that. starting with the China Oxford Cornell Diet and Health Project, which is the world's most comprehensive study of diet, health, and disease ever completed, which found really strong correlations between increased degenerative disease in China and the changeover from the traditional Asian plant-based diet to a Western diet filled with meat and dairy and fat. There are actually about 5,000 studies that have been published that show that whole fruits and vegetables can specifically prevent cancer, including about 15 different types of cancers. There were 170 different studies published in 17 different nations showing that the people who eat the most fruits and vegetables have half the cancer rates of those who eat the least. And similar studies demonstrating that high fruit and vegetable diets can help prevent heart attack, stroke, hypertension, and all kinds of other diseases.
Well, that's really neat. Some people will say, well, wait a minute, we talked about hunter-gatherers. People did eat meat in the old days. But there's a big difference between the meat that a traditional society would get now hunting in the forest and what we put on our plates in America, isn't that?
Oh, absolutely. One of the big differences has to do with the fat content, where you're talking about the primitive diet that had maybe only 4% total calories coming from fat, whereas the modern diet has got such a huge percentage of calories coming from fat, and they're all the saturated fats. 99% of that is saturated fat, as opposed to only 1% that is unsaturated. And in the primitive diet, only 35% of the fat was the saturated fat. Today, we've got 40 or 50% of the total calories that are coming from meat are coming from fat. So that alone is one key issue. The other issue is that even if you're eating meat, if you are increasing your fruits and vegetables, that will decrease the danger that the meat contributes to your diet. Same with cheese. I don't recommend them. But I've had people say to me, well, what do you think about red meat? Do you know what my answer is? What else are you eating?
Right.
So tell me that you're going to have a small piece of red meat, hopefully a low-fat piece, and hopefully not too large, and hopefully a high-quality, pristine meat that's not contaminated by growth hormones. But most important is how many vegetables are surrounding it.
Because they are so protective and help.
They are. They will actually help neutralize the dangerous health consequences of eating the foods that I don't want you to eat, but you do.
Right. And also about it's not enough just to cut the fat off of a meat because these animals are fed the same kind of refined foods that are making us sick. They're sick animals.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm not here to say that everyone should be a vegetarian. First of all, there are many people that must have some animal protein in their diet every single day. Doesn't have to always be a steak. It could be fish or it could be eggs. And second of all, some vegetarian diets are not very healthy because figure this out. A Coke and a Danish qualify for vegetarianism. That's all you're eating. You're in trouble.
Right. No, I'm not totally vegetarian myself, but I'm very careful about the sources of my meat and lots of the vegetables and fruits around them. We've heard a lot about beta carotene. What's the specific role of the carotenes? Are those some of the protective elements we're talking about?
Absolutely. And let me mention, there are actually 600 or more different carotenes, and beta carotene is actually one of the weakest. The carotenes are the compounds that give color to our plants. And so, we're not really interested in just the beta carotene. We're not even interested in the carrots and the orange fruits and vegetables. There are carotenes that are yellow and red and green and purple, and they play two very important roles for our health. First of all, they boost immune function, and there's thousands of studies on file with the National Cancer Institute that explain how that works. And secondly, they're very, very powerful antioxidants, which can neutralize free radicals, which are known, are very dangerous compounds known to contribute to chronic killer diseases.
That's so important. I don't want to miss our other two secrets, so let's move on. One of your principles, your third one, is the acid-alkaline balance, to eat alkaline-promoting foods. So can you elaborate on that?
Sure. Foods kind of fall along a continuum between the most acid, which might be as low as zero in terms of pH. That's our official measure.
My goodness, or yes.
The most alkaline, which is up at 14. And disease thrives in an acid environment, whereas healing takes place in an alkaline environment. So it has been recommended that we tend to consume foods that are more in the alkaline range. Well, how do we do that? For two ways. First of all, we have to drink half of our weight in ounces of pure water every day because the acidifying foods are totally missing in water. Those are the animal-based foods, the meats and the fish and the fowl and the dairy, and it's all the starches and pastas and sugars and all the fats. And they don't have any water in them. The only foods that have water in them are the fruits and vegetables, and guess what? They're the alkalinizers. So not only do we need to drink a lot of pure water, but if we're choosing our foods, we should have 80% by volume coming from the alkaline class of fresh fruits and vegetables, and only 20% coming from the acid class of the animal proteins and the grains and the carbohydrates and the fats.
That's great. I love just talking about volume because that's what we look at. I always say that eating is not an analytical process. It's a right brain process. We want to get the color and the texture and the smells and have your food look good. And 80% of it should be those alkalizing foods.
You know, we don't have to, excuse me for interrupting, we don't have to measure calories particularly. We don't have to be food biochemists. We don't have to weigh things. Just look at it and say, okay, is 80% of my plate covered with plants? And then I pretty much don't care what you do for the other 20%.
Exactly.
Said another way, so, I'll tell people, if you 19 out of your 21 meals have to be really healthy, I don't care what you do the other two.
Exactly. That's good, too, because people get freaked if they go to a birthday party. Hey, you know, don't go to one every day, but if you want to celebrate, that's all right. So we're up on a break, Susan, but I want to come back and talk about your fourth nutrition secret, really important one. So thank you. Hang in there.
I'm hanging in.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news. and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
When you were young, did you feel free to daydream? Were you full of questions such as why, how, and what if? Did you allow yourself to be carefree, to dance and sing? Did you create just for fun? Want to feel that way again? Reclaim your natural curiosity and creativity with Dr. Carol Stalkup on Stargazing Stories, Sparking Your Creativity. Revitalize your life, work, and relationships. Be more playful, be bold, imagine, explore, and live more creatively every day. Tune in Wednesdays at 11 a.m. in the East, 8 a.m. in the West on Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
We're back with Susan Silverstein, Executive Director of the Center for Advancement in Cancer Education, and that's exactly what she does and has done and her passion. And as you can tell, she has so much to offer in real information of how to protect your family from the diseases of modern life. But we want to get to the fourth nutrition secret. And so you said the fourth one was recommending organic foods. Is that because of the pesticides, or are there other differences that we should be aware of?
Certainly pesticides and artificial ingredients and some of the hormonal additives are all going to be dangerous. And so we certainly want to avoid those contaminants, especially for our young children who are more sensitive than even adults to those contaminants. But I always tell people that organic is not only about what is left out, but more specifically about what is left in. Because plants absorb close to 70 nutrients from their growing medium, but ordinary fertilizers only provide a few, whereas organic farmers will make sure that the trace minerals are plowed back into the soil through composting, and they're rotating their crops, and they're letting the land lie fallow 1 year in seven, so it can replenish its nutritional stores. And there have been such interesting research studies. One that I like a lot was published a couple of years ago by the European Union, they found that organic fruits and vegetables actually have up to 40% more antioxidants. They have higher levels of beneficial minerals like iron and zinc. Also, an older study that came out of Rutgers University was fascinating, looking at the difference in mineral content between soils that were organically prepared versus non-organic. And for example, the calcium content of cabbage in the organic soil was about 60 parts per million, whereas in the non-organic cabbage, we're looking at 17. And the potassium content of lettuce, 176 parts per million versus 53. And the one that always blows me away, that content of iron in tomatoes, in organically grown tomatoes, 1,938 parts per million, and in the non-organic tomato, 1. So when you think that you might be paying double for your organic produce, and of course we all hope we can afford that double, but we might be getting 100 or 1,000-fold the nutritional value from that organically grown plant.
That's so important.
It is. If you can't find it, or you can't afford it, or you must make a choice because you can't do everything, then at least if you're choosing the organic form of the plants that you don't peel, like grapes or peaches or cherries, that would be more protective than, a plant like a watermelon or an avocado or a banana, where you could get the skin off. So you'd be avoiding a lot of the pesticides and artificial ingredients, but of course you would still not get the same amount of nutritional value.
Yeah, I think that's key that I try to tell people that the plants that are grown organically, they can't doctor them as much, and they grow commercially. It's mainly for looks and stability in the market, where the organic farmer is actually thinking about your nutrition and to avoid to grow something without pesticides and herbicides. The plant actually has to be healthier, and I think it takes healthy plants and animals to feed a healthy body. Yep. Wouldn't you agree?
And there are about 30,000 phytonutrients, that is plant-based nutrients, not just a few vitamins and minerals, but 30,000. And the way to optimize your intake of all of those plant-based nutrients is to consume a diet that is largely grown organically.
That's brilliant. So winding up now, what general advice can you give to people who want to change their diets with these wonderful four: eat primitive, eat colorful, eat alkaline, eat organic?
Well, first of all, I do hope that you'll buy my first book, Hungry for Health, and when you graduate, go after Hungrier for Health. Aim for at least 10 fist-sized servings of fresh fruits and vegetables per day. More vegetables than fruits in a ratio of about 3-1. And if you microwave any of them, you get negative points. And that's a topic for another show altogether. I suggest that you make very gradual changes. Choose your battles one step at a time, and however long it takes you to integrate that healthy change, that's when you go on to the next one. Focus on what you want to include rather than focusing on what you need to give up. And no guilt, no guilt. Health is not about perfection. It's about balance. And guilt is such a dangerous emotion. It's probably worse for you than eating bad. I also suggest that the people who are buying my recipe books and they're trying to kind of convert their family to healthy eating, start with desserts. Pick one dessert that sounds yummy and convince your young people that way that you can enjoy healthy eating. And then let the kids get involved and let them pick some of the recipes that sound appealing. Let them be involved in shopping for the ingredients and actually preparing the dish. These are so easy to do. Even my 2-year-old granddaughter can push the button on a smoothie, and she knows we put the flaxseed in there, but we have to grind it first. She knows we put the organic berries in there, and she knows we put the almond milk in there. So it's really easy to start your children young on that process. And remember, again, 19 out of 21 meals per week is what you're aiming for to eventually eat healthfully and plant-based and then have a ball the other two.
Oh, that's really helpful advice, especially getting kids started. It's not like you have to fight off all the junk food if you really get them enjoying all the colors and tastes and smells. So how can people learn more about what you have to offer? You say you do a lot of phone counseling. How would they connect with your organization and get hold of your books and maybe come to your courses if they're anywhere nearby, or invite you to their state to share more of your great wisdom?
Well, they can certainly go to our website, beatcancer.org. They'll learn a lot about the center and they'll get contact information. If they just want to order the Hungry for Health products, they can go directly to hungryforhealth.net. They can call toll-free and place an order that way or learn more about the services of the center at 888-551-2223. We need your help. We need donations. We need volunteers. We have an affiliate program where if you get excited about some of our materials, you can make money sharing that with other people. We have a college campus outreach initiative, an internship program, a minorities program, a Latino outreach. We have so many exciting things. We have a race that people can get involved in their own community, even if they're not in the Philadelphia area. And of course, that fabulous one-on-one consultation service that is done on a donation basis. If people can't donate, we help them anyway.
That's wonderful. And I do want to mention that the center is works with a lot of physicians as well. It's not about either or. It's all about making the patient whole and healthy, right?
Absolutely. We get referrals from doctors and nurses all the time. And whatever choice a patient makes, our job is to make them more successful than they would otherwise be.
That's really awesome. I congratulate you on all the thousands and thousands of people you've helped, and keep up the good work, Susan. And thank you so much for sharing your wisdom about how families can keep themselves healthy. And it can all start in the kitchen and on the plate and with your kids just chopping vegetables with you. So thanks again for being
here. My pleasure. Thanks for this opportunity.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.